Hi, I'm Kelly Corrigan. You've probably never heard of me. Maybe you did. I wrote some New York Times bestsellers. I gave a TED Talk. But the reason I'm in your ear now is to invite you to listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders. We talk to everyone from Bono to Amy Schumer, Spike Lee to Rainn Wilson, Krista Tippett and Bryan Stevenson about purpose, creativity, well-being, and what makes life worth living. Follow and listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Tuesday, December 31st, 2024. Good afternoon. Happy New Year's Eve. Thanks for joining us today on the final WBBM Noon Business Hour of 2024. I'm Andy Dane in for Rob Hart. Well, several significant housing market trends are emerging as we head into 2025. We'll talk about that in our next segment. But first, New Year's known for setting goals like quitting smoking, exercising more, and losing weight. But why not also make a financial one? Joining us now on the Village of Bedford Park Business Line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Mark Horner, Wealth Advisor at Fairhaven Wealth Management. Mark, good afternoon. Thanks for being with us here on the Noon Business Hour. So for those of us who are considering making a financial goal, a financial resolution as we head into 2025, what are some of the most popular ones, some that you may recommend that people consider here?
Yeah, happy New Year's Eve to you, Andy. So it depends on somebody's stage of life is one of the factors. But so for somebody that's just got a brand new job just out of college, maybe making sure that you're fully participating in company benefits, you're not leaving any profit sharing money on the table in the 401k plan. Just earlier this morning, we had a former intern come visit us in the office with his newborn baby daughter. And so for a young family, maybe making sure that you've got wills and powers of attorney in place, life insurance if something were to happen to you, to make sure that your family's taken care of. And it may be further down the road, maybe you're thinking about, you've got retirement on the horizon that might be 5 or 7 years down the road, making sure that you're doing a double check that your retirement spending assumptions are correct and practicing retirement and updating the financial plan. So it depends on people's stage of life, what various goals they might consider. But one way to take your goal setting to the next level is to think about pairing your goal with whatever it is, with a visual representation. So for me, I've been doing this for years. I use an old school calendar that I write appointments and take notes in. And every year I tape a bunch of pictures inside that calendar about that represent various goals that I have for my life over the next year. But taking the time to think about the goals, writing them down, and again, if you can pair them with pictures, you are going to greatly increase your chances of hitting those goals.
So, you know, whether you're doing it with pictures, which is a great idea, and you obviously mentioned that everyone's kind of in a different spot here, but when you look at kind of weighing the now versus later in terms of spending with some of these goals, how do you recommend people do that?
Yeah, so you're touching on the power of time, and you know, in the financial world, which is enormous. And so the getting too obsessed about how much specifically I should be saving for retirement, I think might be had the focus on the wrong element. It's what's most important is that you get started with whatever financial goal that you have. So whether it's a goal to buy a house in a couple of years or retire in 20 or 30 years, the power of time is enormous. And so do not let that slip through your fingers. It's important to get started on whatever goals it is that you might have. And whenever you can, we are huge fans of automating and just systematizing your goals. So setting up regular contributions to an investment account, again, if you're saving for a house, or a 401k plan if you're saving for retirement. But getting started and systematizing are the two most important elements.
A lot of super helpful stuff here as we head into the new year. Thanks so much, as always. That is Mark Horner, Wealth Advisor at Fairhaven Wealth Management. Coming up, a preview of the 2025 housing market.
Cash, credit, debit, and totally free. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Several new housing trends are emerging as we head into 2025. Let's discuss some of the key ones now with Rick Sharga, founder and CEO of CJ Patrick Company. Rick, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us here on the Noon Business Hour, and Happy New Year to you. We are just hours away from that new year here in the U.S., and as we approach it, what are some of the top housing market trends people should keep an eye on in 2025?
Well, there's some good news on the housing front. There's more available to buy now than there's been really in the last couple of years. The inventory of homes available for sale is up about 25% or so from last year. So those people that have been looking for properties to buy are going to have more to choose from, which has been one of the real big headwinds in the housing market. And the other, I think, positive trend is that while affordability is still challenging for a lot of potential buyers, we should start to see it get at least marginally better. We're seeing that home prices are going up a little bit more slowly than they've been over the last couple of years. And hopefully mortgage rates will tick down at least a little bit in 2025.
I'm sure some of those factors play into it here, but obviously we're hearing that more sellers are kind of expected to dive into the market here in 2025. In your eyes, why is that?
Well, some people always have to sell. They have a need to sell their property. They have a job transfer. There's a marriage in the family. There's a birth in the family. There's a divorce. There's a death. There's a job loss. There's some reason why folks have to move. The other reality is that a lot of people are simply aging out of their homes. We have baby boomers rapidly getting to a point where maybe their home is too big. Maybe it's time for them to move to be closer to their kids and grandkids. So there's a variety of reasons people are selling those properties.
So, Rick, if we do see that increased demand in 2025, how will that affect kind of supply as the year rolls on?
Well, it seems likely that we will see more supply in both new homes and existing homes. The builders are actually ramping up a little bit as well. The real million-dollar question that you just pointed out, Andy, is we have a huge amount of pent-up demand. The millennial generation has not yet peaked in terms of people reaching that prime age for being a first-time homebuyer. And so we could see a point where demand, again, outstrips supply, and that has a tendency to cause home prices to go up. But I think the market has a chance to achieve a little bit more of a status of equilibrium next year. It's been a very, very strong seller's market, a very, very tough market for buyers, really for the last 4 or 5 years. And I think things are likely to calm down a little bit in 2025.
And Rick, finally, before we let you go here, your advice to whether it's those of us who may be in the buying market in 2025 or those on the other side of the coin and looking to sell, what's kind of your biggest piece of advice to each?
Well, people that are looking to sell, you know, make sure that you know what your exit strategy is. Where do you go next after you sell? So have that plan in place, because inventory is still a little bit limited and it's expensive to move. For people looking to buy, don't wait for prices to crash. Don't wait for mortgage rates to come plummeting down. Really, really difficult to time the market properly. Make sure that what you're looking for is something you can comfortably afford. And if you find something that you like that you can afford, you know, don't wait too long to make that decision to move, because prices have a tendency to continue to go up over time.
Great stuff, as always. Thanks so much. That's Rick Sharga, founder and CEO of CJ Patrick Company. Up next, unexpected packages with QR codes showing up on people's porches. Maybe part of what's called a brushing scam.
Cashing in with conversation. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, mysterious packages with QR codes are showing up on doorsteps, and the Better Business Bureau warning that this may be part of an emerging scam. Joining us now to explain is Steve Burness, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Chicago. Steve, thanks for joining us here on the Noon Business Hour. All right, so for those who aren't familiar with this scam, tell us a little bit about it and perhaps where we think these packages may be coming from.
Well, thank you so much for having me today. These are brushing scams, which really is a fraudulent e-commerce tactic where these sellers, scammers send unsolicited packages to people. And it seems to be increasing through Chicago and Northern Illinois for some reason this time of the year. They really create a fake transaction on e-commerce platforms really to inflate their sales and boost their products. So they're sending these what used to be victimless crimes, sending you fake packages. But now they're adding QR codes, which means is they want you to click on it, see who, or use the QR code rather, to see who sent it. And then they ask you for personal information or account information as well. So it's kind of a form of identity theft now. And we're seeing this happening all across Chicago.
All right, so Steve, if you receive one of these packages, it would seem that the best thing to do here is just ignore it. But however, you know, it's the holiday season. We've all, you know, maybe spent a little too much on gifts this year. You get a QR code. I would think it's kind of enticing to scan it. Aside from maybe not doing that, are there any other tips that people can follow to avoid falling victim here?
Well, if you really received an unexpected package, it's really a gift to yourself. You don't have to send it back to anybody else, but it probably means that your personal information is compromised in some way. Like your name or home address, you know, in a data breach or wherever it may be. So you want to find out and look, you know, get your copy of your credit report. And it's free to get a copy of your credit report to see if you have, if you are a victim of identity theft in other ways. But again, these are just meaningless gifts that are sent. You don't have to do anything with them. But please, the warning the Better Business Bureau issuing today is don't use those QR codes on those packages because it could lead to, you know, identity theft. It can lead to putting a spam or malware on your phone, which can lock your phone. They can compromise it in some way. So it's always best to be very careful if you see a QR code that you're not aware of or were unexpected. And sometimes they're putting flyers out, you know, with QR codes. If you don't know what those code is for, don't use it. Don't click on it.
And Steve, before we let you go here, if you're listening and thinking, well, all right, well, I have to worry about that. I haven't gotten any mysterious, you know, packages at my doorstep this holiday season. Are there any other scams that we are seeing kind of pick up speed here this holiday year?
Online shopping is always a big part of this number one scam at the Better Business Bureau, fake websites. So people still are shopping and returning items back from the holidays. So we're seeing a lot of the fake websites. So make sure you just don't click on a link that an ad appears on your screen for this great offer, because it could lead you to a nefarious site that has spam or malware on it as well. So always online, always concerns us at the Better Business Bureau.
Really helpful stuff. Lots to keep an eye out on. Thanks so much. That's Steve Burness, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Chicago. Still ahead in Travel Tuesday, using a credit card responsibly can help fund your 2025 vacation.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. Thanks for being with us here at the New Business Hour. I'm Andy Dane in for Rob Hart, and these are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. Drivers in Chicago will be monitored by more speed cameras in the coming year. A major blackout in Puerto Rico could last for several more days. In Travel Tuesday, how a particular credit card could help fund your next trip. And it's an especially busy time for hospital emergency rooms. We'll discuss ways to avoid them. Sports: Blackhawks and Blues square off in the Winter Classic at Wrigley Field this afternoon. On Wall Street, the Dow is down 141 points, NASDAQ dropping 169, and the S&P falling about 33 points. AccuWeather says light rain, snow, cloudy, blustery the rest of the afternoon. Temperatures fall through the 30s. Right now, light rain, 40 degrees at 1231. Well, drivers in Chicago being counted on to boost the city budget in 2025.
Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson's plan to add $2.5 million worth of speed cameras will go into effect under the city's 2025 budget on January 1st. There's already more than 100 speed cameras ticketing drivers right now. There's no detail yet on where the new cameras will go. The goal is to raise about $11 million to restore police positions related to the federal consent decree. Mallory Vorbroker, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
A massive blackout has hit Puerto Rico today, knocking out power to nearly all of the island territory. Electricity provider Luma Energy says it will take 24 to 48 hours to restore service. The most recent numbers show less than 15% of Puerto Rico's 1.4 million utility customers have power. The company says a preliminary investigation indicates the problem originates in an underground line.
Money conversation that pays a big dividend. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, the markets are trending lower on this final day of trading for 2024. And joining us now on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Gary Kaltbaum, president of Kaltbaum Capital Management. Gary, good afternoon. Happy New Year. Thanks for being with us here on the Noon Business Hour this afternoon. It has been a monster year for stocks. Curious, your annual takeaway here before we roll into 2025.
Well, happy New Year to you also. Look, it's been a very good year for the big indices. Others, not so great. What you've had recently, and you're seeing it on a daily basis, is that 10 stocks make up 55% of the NASDAQ 100. The eight stocks make up 36% of the S&P. And those are the big mega cap names that have done so well toward the end of the year, while so many other areas of the market have gotten into big trouble, especially interest rate sensitive like housing and economically sensitive stocks, things like Caterpillar and United Rentals. So going into the new year, we're under some good distribution here, so institutions are selling, and I'm a little bit wary as we start 2025.
Well, Gary, another market driver that we're seeing as of late has been the so-called Trump trade. Curious if you think that momentum could carry into the new year here.
Well, you had a big gap to the upside upon the election. That has fizzled out, which is somewhat on the normal side. And really what it's going to all depend on, as usual, whether Trump or not, if interest rates stay down and earnings are strong. You get those two things happening, I'll give you a very good market. Now, the promise from the election is lower taxes, less regulation. Fundamentally, that should be good news. If they can get that done, I'm expecting decent things also. But you know, in Washington, D.C., to get things done takes three arms and two legs.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, it's kind of going off of that, and maybe the challenges that we could see, you know, come out of Washington here in the new year. Other threats to the financial markets you might be keeping an eye on in 2025?
Well, right now we're running monthly $300 billion deficits. That would be a run rate of $3.6 trillion deficit this year, which is a gargantuan record. I can promise you one thing from that, if it continues, a gigantic headwind for the economy and markets going forward, especially the interest rate environment, because economics 101 states the more debt there is, the more lenders will be demanding higher rates of return, which means bonds sell off, interest rates higher, markets come down, economy gets in trouble. Why? Because that 10-year yield has to do with mortgage rates as well as the cost of capital from the consumer all the way to big business.
Gary, if you had to look at a particular sector here or area of the market that you would predict could outperform in 2025, where do you go?
The one area that has totally underperformed for a very long time that I'm watching really closely because everybody hates it is energy. As of this second, it is still in a bearish phase, a bear market, if you will. But I'm wondering if energy spikes higher for any number of reasons or just because. So watch oil prices very closely. If they start breaking above 80, 85, I can promise you the oil stocks will go along with it to the upside. It's not clear yet if this is going to happen, but that's definitely on my lookout because everybody hates it. And if it does turn the corner, once everybody starts to like it, guess what they have to do? They have to start buying in.
And Gary, before we let you go here, we've talked a little bit earlier in the program about financial goals, financial resolutions here heading into 2025. For those who maybe have decided to dip their toes into the market, your advice to those maybe looking to make 2025 a bit more profitable?
If you haven't been in, wait for pullbacks. Simple as that. The market is expensive beyond any characteristic in the past. I think it's traded between 23 and 25 times earnings. Normality is 17. Does not mean it's going to get there. I think pullbacks are the best way to go. And stay, if you're looking at individual stocks, stay with greatness. Companies that there's such strong demand for the product, that there's people around the corners clamoring for that product or service, and you'll be able to tell by all the talk will be about those companies.
All right. Helpful stuff as always. Thanks so much. That is Gary Kaltbaum, president of Kaltbaum Capital Management. Find him online at GaryK.com. Up next in Travel Tuesday, using the right credit card to help fund your 2025 vacation.
An economy of words. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It is Travel Tuesday here on the WBBM Noon Business Hour, sponsored by Pre-Flight Airport Parking. Using the right credit card throughout the year can help fund a trip in 2025 if done responsibly. Joining us now to explain, Ted Rossman, Senior Industry Analyst at Bankrate.com. Ted, good afternoon. Thanks for being with us today. All right, so if you're planning that 2025 trip, and you're using a credit card to do so, how can you go about using the right card that can maybe help make that trip a bit more affordable for you?
As long as you pay your credit card bills in full and avoid interest, rewards add up to free money, and this can really add up over the course of the year. I made almost $3,000 this year in cash back just from purchases my family would have made anyway. So, you know, one idea is to keep it really simple, get a 2% no annual fee cash back card like the Citi Double Cash or Wells Fargo Active Cash. Just get 2% back on everything and, you know, use it for travel, use it for a bank account deposit, use it to reduce your how much you owe on your statement. You know, that's one option. If you want to go the travel route, I would suggest keeping your options open. Something like the Capital One Venture or the Chase Sapphire Preferred. These are cards that give you a lot of different ways to use your points and miles. The key is earning them through everyday spending and then paying it off before interest hits. Then it's all a freebie.
You know, Ted, I'm curious, you know, I know the credit card that I use offers rewards, and they strategically pick, I think it's every 3 months or so, you get a different thing that you spend money on. You get an extra bonus. Sometimes it's restaurants, sometimes it's gas stations. And they strategically, knowing that around, you know, the holiday season, you get a little boost on your Amazon purchases, which comes in handy for many, including myself. I'm curious if any of the cards maybe specifically, you know, advertise their rewards for, hey, you know, if you use this one thing during the year, or you purchase this on your card, maybe help you out with rewards and maybe makes that travel even cheaper.
Yeah, it's a good point because everybody's different, right? There's no one size fits all best credit card. It depends how you spend your money. So these are some of the questions you should ask yourself. What categories do you spend a lot in? If you spend a lot on groceries, for example, the American Express Blue Cash Preferred gives 6% back on groceries. I mean, that's huge for a family of four like mine. I mean, that adds up to hundreds of dollars a year in rewards. Maybe you're more of a foodie who goes to restaurants, or maybe you love travel, or you have a long commute and you spend a lot on gas. Lean into the categories in which you spend the most money. So that's a big question. How do you spend? And then also, what do you want to get out of your rewards? Cash back is often more simple and universal, but travel can be more lucrative and it can be fun. So, you know, do you want travel? Do you want cash back? How much complexity are you willing to take on? Some people want to just use the same card for everything, to which I might say, well, just get a zero or a, you know, a no annual fee, 2% back card. Or, you know, if you are willing to juggle a few different cards, pick a few categories in which you spend a lot of money and watch those rewards roll in.
And finally, Ted, any tips on really maximizing the value of those rewards if you're using them for a trip here in the new year?
Well, one idea, and it sounds simple, but actually use them. You know, believe it or not, 1 in 4 rewards credit card holders didn't redeem any rewards over the past year. So if you're listening to this and that describes you, take stock of what you have. A lot of people are sitting on real value. Travel is often the most lucrative. You know, you can get an $8,000 first class international airline ticket for 100,000 points. I mean, that's 8 cents per point or mile. 1 cent per point is more typical for cash back. But you need to know yourself and, you know, what your travel habits are. But sign up for cards strategically, too. You can get 100,000 points just by signing up for the right card. So consider adding a card or two every year if it makes sense.
All right, great stuff, really helpful stuff. Maybe you want to check your credit card statement here as soon as you can. Thanks so much. That's Ted Rossman, Senior Industry Analyst at Bankrate.com. Up next, tips from an emergency room doctor on how to avoid the ER tonight.
Conversation that's on the money. You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Well, emergency rooms are notoriously busy on New Year's Eve, treating everything from cork-related eye injuries to burns and bad falls. Joining us now to discuss the risks and how to stay safe tonight is Dr. Chris Colbert, ER doctor and assistant program director of the Emergency Medicine Residency Program at UIC. Dr. Colbert, thank you for joining us here on the Noon Business Hour. Really neat insight here is you will actually be on the job tonight in the ER. Curious, what types of things you see, especially on these New Year's Eve evenings?
You know, Andy, I will be at work this weekend and this night specifically, and big points to make is, number one, I have a designated friend, not just a designated driver. I have a designated friend. Make sure this is established before everyone starts consuming alcohol. This shouldn't be one of the decisions where, hey, who's less intoxicated? You want to make this decision way before you engage into the night. That always helps. Number two, new shoes. Everyone has new outfits out and new ideas tonight, but alcohol, 3-inch heels, and music never go well together. Something's going to give, and it's usually an ankle. So be mindful of the amount of alcohol you drink, and as well as the new outfits. Just try them on now. Put them on at 12 o'clock, and then put them on 7 o'clock before you head out.
All really helpful tips, especially you consider how many of these incidents may be alcohol related. I would think, doctor, that a lot of these, the reasons that you see people on New Year's Eve are things that are preventable. A lot of what you just mentioned is preventable. What are some ways that people can maybe make sure that they don't wind up seeing you tonight?
Again, I always make the recommendation to have a designated friend, not just a designated driver. You need to hang out with the person that says, hey, these look like there may be too many steps to walk. Let's walk another way. Or, hey, are these your keys? Hey, I think you forgot your purse. Having these subtle, helpful individuals around you ensure that the night is fun and you walk into 2025 with a really great experience and not experience in the ED.
And doctor, you know, it's very, you know, brave and helpful of you and the others to be working on a night like this when you'd probably rather be maybe out celebrating or with family. I'm curious ways that if someone does end up having to come in, unfortunately, whether that's, you know, an unfortunate injury, maybe a minor issue, or they're bringing a friend in, are there ways that those coming in tonight can help out you and the other doctors on hand?
Well, my recommendation is always, first of all, we always meet great people in the emergency room. It's always a great conversation because the experience is very new, and you have some great conversation, and the story always goes with an ER visit. But my recommendation is always have a friend to possibly take you to the ER as well and provide some insight. Make sure that you limit the amount of alcohol, you enjoy your time, enjoy your friends, and bring in the new year well.
Really great stuff. Thanks so much, and thanks for your work tonight. That is Dr. Chris Colbert, ER doctor and assistant program director of the Emergency Medicine Residency Program at UIC. Hopefully you don't have to see him tonight. And if you missed any part of today's show, you can go to our stream and skip back to the time you'd like. There's also a pause and rewind function that works both online and with the Odyssey app.